Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message. Should we look for good quality ingredients in the words we're choosing to listen to?
That's good. I think, you know, I would say, tell me if you think this is the same, but I think that there is such a familiarity with the here and now, and we think that the born again life and experience is for when we get to heaven. But the reality is, yes, we're going to get a new body. We're going to get a glorified body when we go to heaven. But right now, our spirit has been made new. Our spirit is alive to God. And we need to become more familiar with the voice of the Spirit of God than the soulish voices in the world.
Absolutely. It's so true. There's nothing, the Word of God is pure, it's organic. It's there's no toxins in it.
No.
That's not true of the philosophies of men. Just not true.
It's always now, Joseph. It doesn't sit on the shelf. That's right.
Yeah. It cannot expire. It cannot go bad.
It can't get bad. No.
There's really nothing like it.
It's
so,
always life-giving.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain places we go to get certain types of food because we know that we're going to get the quality we want.
Right.
But where else are you going to go to find the words of life? Just Jesus.
That's it.
Just let's be real. Come on.
How many people have testified that they searched and searched and searched, and when they got to Jesus, the search was
is over. Absolutely.
Right.
So if you're hearing this today, and maybe you're searching, we want to encourage you, go right to Jesus.
Amen.
And the search is over. He's not a teacher, a religious icon. He's truth. He's the person of Christ. He's a person of God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He has no theories. He doesn't need any surveys or any studies done. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He has no beginning, no end, and he has never had to learn anything. So when he speaks, it's perfectly pure and perfectly healthy. His words are health to our whole body, to our whole person. Hallelujah. So that's why we place so much emphasis on the Spirit. And that's why we're calling this series Spirit Man. And we're having fun with it, likening it to Superman. But it's actually very true.
It is true.
Are superhuman.
Yes.
And when you realize your true identity in Christ, what he has done for you and who you now are in him, that you can do the things Jesus did and greater things than these, and you begin to see yourself in this way, you go through life differently. You process things differently. You look at people differently.
That's
you think differently. And we want to call you into this spirit life. There's nothing strange or odd or goofy about it. It's simply recognizing who Christ is, what he's done for us, and who we are in him, and staying with that, developing in that, growing in the knowledge of that, practicing that, applying that, meditating in that.
Mm-hmm.
So in this series, we're growing in the knowledge of our new identity, spirit men and women, superheroes, our source of our new strength. What's the source of our new strength? Actually, I think it was in Psalm 18 I was in. It was so good. It says, I love you, O Lord, my strength.
Mm-hmm.
One translation says.
Mm-hmm.
Another one says, Lord, you have become my power.
That's right.
So we're growing in the knowledge, this source of our new strength. If you don't hear messages like this, you're not going to grow in it. Okay? We need to hear about what's been given to us. Straight from the Word of God, straight from the Spirit of God. So we're learning about the true knowledge of our new identity, the source of our new strength, which is Christ himself, and the new mission that we are on, which is to do what Jesus did and greater things than these. Yeah, pretty simple. To be his ambassadors, to be vessels for the Spirit and Word of God in the earth, that people can meet us and experience Christ. That is your life mission. The meaning of your life is first and foremost to know God, to experience him more every day, and secondly, to help others know him. That is what your life is all about. And I can say that for all of us. without reservation. So that is your primary purpose for existing. First of all, to know the one who made you, experience Christ more every day, and then to help others do the same. Mm-hmm. It's very simple. So when you're thinking about your plans for your future or your plans for today, tomorrow, a year, 3 years, that should be the foremost thought, foremost passion in our thinking, because that is your life purpose. First and foremost, I'm making plans. I want to know him more. I want to grow in him more every day, and I want to help others do the same. And then whatever industry or area God calls me into, it's going to be based on that, okay? And you can do that in any industry.
Yeah.
Okay? It doesn't mean you have to be called into a fivefold ministry, full-time ministry. You can do that in any area. But we always, since we've been in Christ, encourage young people, you know, they're told so many things. Okay, when you graduate high school, you got to do this, got to do that. We would always say, what are you going to be doing for Christ?
Right.
What's God's plan and purpose for your life?
Exactly.
And they're kind of like, oh.
Wait, that's a different.
No one ever asked me that. You know, the guidance counselor at school didn't say that.
People
aren't thinking that way. What if you began thinking and realizing your divine purpose? That your divine purpose was to know Christ more every day. It's not a church thing. It's not a Christian thing. It's a human being thing. It's something God has for every human being. What if you began to live your life based on that foundation? My purpose in life is to know him more every day and to help others know him more. It will change the way you operate. Hmm. And it will alleviate you of so much frustration, because that is the reason you're on this earth. So good. Spirit man, let's read our key verse from Colossians chapter 1. And then we're going to get into some super human scriptures here from John chapter 1. So I'm just going to read, I'll start in verse 28 of Colossians 1. Christ is our message. Colossians 1:29. Christ is our message. We preach, we're living, we're on this planet, spirit men and women, to awaken hearts and bring every person into the full understanding of truth. Love that. It has become my inspiration, it has become our inspiration and passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity. There's only one way you can do that, if the Lord is your strength.
That's the only way.
The Lord is your strength.
He's become my strength.
Yep, that's what we just talked about.
That's right.
Discovering our strength, or the source of our new strength.
Mm-hmm.
It's God himself. So this has become our inspiration and passion in life to labor with a tireless intensity with his power flowing through us. Mm-hmm. The Amplify says, with all the superhuman energy which he so mightily enkindles and works within us.
I love that.
Powerful, powerful. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. Now, I want to go to John chapter 1.
Okay.
We're talking about, we're going to see our new identity here, the source of our new strength, and the mission that we're on. John chapter 1. Still to this day, I have to say John's still my favorite book.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like that since I first read the Bible, and still like that today. There's just something I can't seem to get past is this relationship that Jesus examples for us between Father and Son. And it just still does so much for me.
I think it was the book that was first directed to.
Yeah.
And it's a great book if you're ministering to someone or sharing Christ with someone. To tell them, and they're unfamiliar with the Bible, it's a great book
to go.
The first book to send them to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unique in the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
So you've heard of the Synoptic Gospels. Well, the three out of the four Gospels are similar in their accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But John kind of stands alone. He's very unique.
It's a little more relational.
Very much so. Very much. It's modeling for us what our relationship was meant to be with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love it so much. Well, here's John 1. And actually, John 1 goes further back than Genesis 1. Very important to understand that. In the beginning was the Word. That's before the earth was created, before our galaxy was created, before the universe was created, before there are any other beings at all, there was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. Why did I say there was Jesus? Because you're going to find out that's who we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Jesus is called the Word of God. Why is he called the Word of God? Because he is the expression of God's heart. That's what words are. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, okay. Now, I remember I was new in the Lord, and I was at my grandparents' house, and a couple people came to the door, and we're trying, and they wanted to come in and talk to my grandparents about God,
their religion.
About their religion. So I listened, and I heard what they were saying, and they actually didn't know Jesus. Mm-hmm. And in their, it was actually a cult, and in their Bible, they changed this very verse. Mm-hmm. And in their Bible, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And they changed one syllable here. Instead of saying, and the Word was God, they said, and the Word was a God. Mm-hmm. Now, you can do that in English. You can insert all the words you want, but it's not written in English. It was written in Greek. The Greek doesn't say that. The Greek says, and the Word was God. One and the same. Mm-hmm. But they didn't believe Jesus was God, so they stuck a little
an article. It's an article.
Yeah. You stick a little A in there, and nothing else matters.
It's very different. From
changes everything.
The article, the.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which says there's absolutely, one, but absolutely. A says yeah. There's many.
Right.
That was the issue.
Yeah, and the Word was God. Okay, so be aware of that. Jesus is who you're looking for, and there are many cults out there, religious groups. And if you want to get right to the source of what they believe, say, is Jesus God? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if they say no, you know that they're missing out on the foundation of all truth. Mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. That's a quick way. Because they can have a lot of beliefs that are similar to Christianity. Right. Mm-hmm. And they know a lot of scriptures. But if you want to get right to the heart of truth, go right to Jesus. Is Jesus God? Not a God. Not a prophet. Is he God?
This is the verse that measures that. Right?
That's it. Yeah, there's several more, but this is a key one. Mm-hmm. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, nowhere else. Mm-hmm. And look at this. And the life was the light of men.
Yes.
He's the light that we need to see God clearly.
That's right.
If you think he's a God, you're never going to see God clearly. You need to know that he is God. And the lights come on.
I just feel impressed right now to just tell a little bit of my story.
Go ahead.
In the sense of what was so necessary in my life was surrender.
Yeah, that's good.
There came a point in my life, I was an adult then. I learned all about Jesus whenever I was younger. I was in church my entire life. But there came a point when I was a young adult, married woman, and I just had a place of surrender. Mm-hmm. And just to say that, that Jesus, you are the light that I need.
Yeah.
You are the light of men.
Yeah.
Because I thought I knew everything, basically. You know, like you can learn about Jesus and you can learn about the Bible. You can learn all the little things. And yet never surrender and never say, you are the light that I need.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage anybody. I just feel impressed at this point when, as he read that, that Jesus is the light of men.
Yeah.
That we need to say, oh, I need that light. Mm-hmm. It's not enough to know about Jesus. It's not enough to know about the Bible. It's not enough to go to church even. But it's that heart surrender where all of a sudden the light and the life that he is begins to meet the needs of our soul. Like we're talking about the needs of our life. Yeah.
So what's he the light on? Everything.
That's exactly right.
Everything. He's the answer to every issue you face.
And I think for me, it was just a matter of like, I thought, well, if I just know everything, I'll be great. if I know everything, that'll be great.
Which
but
you do.
Knowing,
which, is good.
Which I do. So,
yeah, that's good.
No, but that's all up here. That all the knowing is up here. Mm. And the surrender, the receiving Him as light, the light of men.
Yep. Yep.
That's me. I'm the female version of men.
That's
so
true.
Like I need this light.
Yes.
And so I just feel impressed today to just give up the fight, give up the posturing that you know everything and that what could you possibly need? Mm-hmm. We all need Jesus.
Absolutely.
And He's the light that we need for every situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And wouldn't that be silly if we needed light and we put the light in a box? Then we couldn't see anything. So don't do that with Jesus. What I mean is we can be trained in religion. So, okay, well, to go to heaven, you need to believe in Jesus. So we believe in Jesus, we're going to heaven. But then we don't have any of His light in our life.
Right.
No, He's not the light to get to heaven. He's the light of mankind for every area of life. Don't compartmentalize Him and religify Him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put Him in a box. He's the light you need for fear, for worry, for anxiety, for issues on your job, for physical issues, mental issues, financial issues. He's the light that you need to win and be the person you were created to be and to prosper and live life abundantly.
And this is the difference of walking as a spirit person, spirit man, and a flesh man.
Absolutely.
When I surrendered to this and said, because the knowing was me doing it myself, but this spirit man, if you want to walk in the spirit, you have to receive things by the spirit. Receive the
That's
light.
So true. It's
receive
so true.
Jesus, the
it's
light
so
of
true.
Men. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. The light of men. We could say the light of mankind, right? And the light shines in the darkness.
Amen.
And the darkness comprehended it not.
Nope.
I love that. That's the King James. Mm-hmm. Darkness comprehended it not. Darkness doesn't understand truth. The natural, the carnal mind will laugh at spiritual things.
That's right.
They sound absolutely foolish. Jesus said, "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says shall happen, he shall have whatsoever he says." To the spirit man, that is bread and butter. That is life.
Got it.
To a carnal-minded person, could be a carnal-minded believer, that can sound foolish.
Right.
Okay? Hallelujah. So the darkness doesn't understand Jesus. Darkness doesn't understand love. Darkness doesn't understand joy. Darkness doesn't understand peace, prosperity, none of those things. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this would be John the Baptist, not the Apostle John. The Apostle John is writing this.
Cousin to Jesus,
John the Baptist was cousin to Jesus, correct. The same came for a witness. He was about 6 months ahead of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light.
That's right.
That all men through him might believe.
Glory to God.
John the Baptist was not the light, but was sent to bear witness to that light.
That's right.
Or of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So if you're in the world, you need his light. His light is for you. Hallelujah. He was in the world. Now we're talking about Jesus. Listen to this. The world was made by him. Remember Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What's this say right here? The world was made by Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Who created the heavens and the earth? Jesus. Hello.
You know what? I'm just going to throw this in here. You know, this past week we had the eclipse.
Yeah.
And I saw an artist friend that I follow. And she said, everyone's standing around looking at the awesomeness of creation and not recognizing that this is just a small representation of the greatness of the Creator, you know, and He is
made by Him.
Here we all are, and he's our maker.
Yeah.
You know,
it's amazing.
And we
amazing.
Miss it sometimes, you know, like I said, darkness didn't understand.
Amazing. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. How is that possible? Well, right. Man separated himself. Man chose to believe darkness over light. Man chose darkness over light. And boy, do we see that in the world today, yeah. Right? We see it's a very dark world. Satan is the god of this world, the prince of darkness, right? So man knew him not because they chose darkness instead of light. And we're ministering every week, encouraging people to choose light, choose life, choose Jesus, amen. Right? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own. That's speaking of the children of Abraham, mm-hmm. Right? Abraham's children, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who became Israel, the Jewish nation. Mm-hmm. He came, 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
That's right.
Many of the doctors in the scriptures, the religious experts, called him demon-possessed, mocked him, ridiculed him, and of course, we know they arrested and crucified him. Mm-hmm. Now, listen to this verse 12. Here it is. This just knocks me out. He came to his own received him. You think that would be the end of the story? Oh, no. But as many as received him, now he's talking about anyone, to them gave he power, spirit man, spirit woman,
that's good.
To become the sons of God. To who? Even to them that believe on his name. Mm-hmm. What nationality would that be?
All.
All. Every nation. Could be Israel. Could be Iran. Could be Turkey. Could be Armenia. Could be Djibouti. Mm-hmm. Could be Brazil. Anyone. Mm-hmm. The criteria is not the nation you're from.
That's right.
But believing in the light of Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
You want to talk about earth shattering?
Amen.
What? Even to them that believe on his name. Now, are you ready? How much of a son do you become? Well, God doesn't use words halfway. You either are his son or you are not.
I just thought maybe you should explain that because some people, that just said you become a son.
You become the sons
of God. Aren't we all God's children?
New.
I think we better just pause.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's a common.
This says we have to do something to become his son.
Right. That's a common, and I understand we're trying to be inclusive, but if you don't, now a child, the kingdom of God belongs to children. They don't know any difference, mm-hmm. You know. There comes a time in a person's life where they begin to understand what is right and wrong, where they can process things. That's different for everybody, mm-hmm. You know, and then they have to make a choice. But no, everyone is not a child of God. Only those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ are the sons and daughters of God.
And I think we talked about this last week in mm-hmm. that everyone bears the fingerprint of God. Everyone
absolutely.
Is made in the image
everyone
of God.
Everyone was made mm-hmm. in the image of God. Mm-hmm.
But the distinction here in becoming a son or a daughter of
yep,
God is
absolutely.
Believing.
Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Absolutely. That's the distinction. So every human being was made in the image of God, and every human being is equally important. But every human being has the choice to make who is going to be the Lord of their life. Many have chosen themselves. I'm going to believe what I want to believe, do what I want to do, think what I want to think. Others have chosen a religious group or an industry or a cultural icon. But there's only one way to be a true son and daughter of God, and that's through faith in Christ. That's the only way. So to those who believe, they become the very sons and daughters
of God. And everybody has a believer on the inside.
Absolutely. Everyone's believing something.
No one's
absolutely.
Born without the capacity to believe.
Absolutely.
What I'm
absolutely.
God's given that to all of us.
Absolutely.
And we like to sometimes say that it's too hard to believe. I can't believe that. But the
not
reality
true.
Is
not
you can.
True. Absolutely.
It's just a matter of choosing to.
That's right. That's right.
A lot of people say, oh, I can't believe that.
Sure you
yes,
can.
You can. Because absolutely. God has placed inside of us, everyone,
yeah, absolutely.
The capacity or a, what I like to call a believer. You know?
Yeah, are absolutely.
You, but are you using your believer?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We do. It's just as simple as choosing what we activate our faith toward.
Yeah.
And anybody can say yes to Jesus. Anybody can say yes.
It's true.
You just say yes.
That's it. It's that simple. You know? It's that simple.
You just say
it's that simple.
Yes.
And look what happens. This is so powerful. So we become the sons of God. Look what verse 13 says, which were born not of blood. This is not a natural thing. Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual thing. Not of blood, mm-hmm. nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. I love that. That set me free, that verse. But of God. When you put your faith in Christ, you are literally reborn of God, and He has become your Father. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The NIV says, children born not of natural descent. Mm-hmm. Nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God.
Amen.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. Let me read the Message translation of verse 12 and 13. Verse 12 in the Message. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. Your true identity can only come alive and be realized through faith in Christ. There is no other way. You are made to be His. I love that. He made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten, born of God,
Amen.
Not blood begotten, not flesh begotten. Wow, that's powerful. Not yeah. sex begotten,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
God begotten.
That's right. That's right. So good.
One more translation, maybe two. Let's do the mirror. Everyone who realizes their association in Him, convinced that He is their original life and that His name defines them, Jesus Christ. God gives the assurance that they are indeed His offspring, begotten of Him. He sanctions the legitimacy of their sonship. Hallelujah. Well, verse 16, New American Standard says, for of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. This is who we are. So in this, we see our true identity, we see the source of our new strength, and we see the mission that we're on. We're sons and daughters of God in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
To let the light of Christ shine through us so that others can come to Him. Hallelujah. We're the sons and daughters of God. We're not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. We're not blood begotten, we're not flesh begotten, not sex begotten, but God begotten.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're the God begotten people in the earth, those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. How important you are. Start seeing yourself as God's very own son, God's very own daughter, God's offspring, God's children in the earth who bear His identity, His spirit, His presence, and His word, just like Jesus did.
Amen.
As Jesus is, so are you in this world
mm-hmm.
today.
Mm-hmm.
So powerful,
Amen.
So powerful. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you so much for this time together of learning about our true identity, of your light illuminating our understanding. to see things as you see them, to see ourselves as you see us. Your very own offspring, just like Jesus. Father, I lift up this Highway family and ask that you help us to grab a hold of the realities of who you are, to walk in the reality of our new identity, to walk in the reality of you as our strength, and to fulfill the mission that we are on this earth for. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to worship the Lord today. Before we pray and bring this time to a close, man, I want to encourage you just to see things as God sees them. And I've been in the body of Christ since the late 80s, and I've heard, you know, the same topics come up over and over again. People argue about, you know, this and that and this, and tithing is something that comes up over and over again. And a new generation comes around and says, oh, you don't need a tithe, shouldn't do it. And it's just so silly. You know, you just go with Jesus. Look at Jesus. Let him lead you. In Hebrews, the author of Hebrews tells us that Jesus receives our tithes today. Tithing wasn't something Moses implemented. It didn't start with the Mosaic covenant, and that's a common misconception. It started with the father of our faith. It started with Abraham, who was 400-some years before the Ten Commandments, a long time before that. And it comes out of relationship with God as your father. So I always look for what God's plan is. So God's plan, the first thing he did when he raised his son from the dead is he gave gifts unto men. As Jesus ascended, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the New Testament church. That's the first thing he did. You can read about that in the New Testament in Ephesians. First thing he did is he set up the authority structure for the New Testament church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then he sent the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came. The first 120 got baptized in the Holy Ghost, began speaking with their spirit in other tongues. They were intoxicated with the Spirit of God, and they began preaching the gospel. People began coming to church regularly. Persecution eventually broke out against them. They were scattered all over the world, but they would the fivefold ministry gifts would preach. They would write letters to the different leaders. Oftentimes they were meeting in homes, and they couldn't wait to get a hold of a letter from a fivefold ministry gift that taught them more about Christ. And we have those letters now in the New Testament, mm-hmm, the epistles. And when they would get a letter, they'd gather in homes with the leader, and he'd read that letter, he or she. There were men and women leaders, men and women apostles. Mm-hmm. They would teach from the letters that were sent by the Spirit of God, and that's how the church grew. And they would bring their offerings. They would bring their tithes, and they would sell personal possessions, properties, and bring the proceeds into the church. And that's how the church began to flourish and grow. We do the same thing today. So you should be connected to a church. Church can be done in all kinds of ways, you know, and sometimes we get hung up in the logistics or the model of how a church is, but the simplicity of it is based on the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers teaching the word. And then we can gather in homes, we can gather in public spaces, but it's built on the preaching of God chose preaching as the method for salvation and to grow his church. So you want to be connected to fivefold ministry gifts who are leading a church, and you want to be hearing the fullness of the gospel. You want to be hearing the message. And when you're connected in that way, then you want to fully participate. You want to be consistent. You want to be committed. You want to be faithful to hear the messages, to apply them to your life, to practice them, to meditate in the word, to grow in your personal relationship with Christ. If you're married, in your relationship with your spouse, if you're a parent with your children, you want to be Christ to your family. And you want to worship God in that church with your money. Very important. It's an essential part of growing in Christ. And when you bring your tithe into the church that you're a part of, and you sow that, it is a spiritual action. Mm-hmm. It is spiritual worship. Mm-hmm. And I know there are many who don't understand that. And it has nothing to do with making money or giving to a charity. It's about sowing and reaping. It's about planting seeds, your financial gifts into the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I will never stop doing that. And I have to research it. We did our taxes. I did them a little while ago. Usually I have them done in February. Mm-hmm. I got them done in March this year, a little late. But I think we gave over 30% mm-hmm. of our income.
That's good. Amen.
Love that.
I do too.
Love that.
I do too.
That's over 30%. Everything that came in our hands, we sowed it right to the kingdom of God.
So good. And he honors that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he sure does.
You know, and also I just throw this in here too. If he's our father, and we're talking about being
Hello.
Spirit man.
Come
born,
on. Born of
born
him.
From above,
God begotten.
Hello. If I'm God begotten.
I'm God provided for.
I'm God provided for. And I have a generous nature.
Yes.
If he's my father, if I'm begotten of God, mm-hmm. and I am, mm-hmm. then all that he is, he's generous. He yeah. is generous. And therefore, I'm generous.
Yes,
you know, so
that's right.
We don't give in fear. We don't give mm-hmm. concerned. When we give, we mm-hmm. give knowing that this is what God has set up.
Being in the family.
It's just being in the family.
It's being in the family. That's how this family operates.
And if I want to be like Dad, I want to be yeah. more and more generous.
Don't let anyone talk you out of spiritual things.
That's so good.
Don't let anyone talk you out of spiritual things.
Like, that doesn't make
Don't
sense.
Don't let anyone take your tithe away.
Oh, no.
You tithe. You be faithful. Oh, you give your offerings. And you sow them into the church that God's called you to.
That's right.
And you be a faithful, powerful, active member of that, so God can That's do good. What he wants to do in his kingdom.
That's good.
It's a very simple process, mm-hmm. but it does take faith.
It's worship.
It does take worship, and that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to worship God
Hallelujah.
With our very best. Father, we come before you right now
you.
In Jesus' name, and Lord, we worship you with our money.
Mm-hmm.
We bless you. We bring 10% of our revenue unto you, and we sow it into this church. Mm-hmm. Lord, into the church you have prepared for us. We thank you for Highway Church. Lord, 10 years mm-hmm. of preaching the good news, of preaching Christ to bring people into the full understanding of truth. We thank you for this treasure that we can draw from every single week of every month of every year. And Lord, we bring our tithes, we bring our offerings, and we sow them into your kingdom through the vehicle you've given us, Highway Church. We worship you in his name. Father, receive the seeds we're sowing today in faith, in worship, for the expansion of your kingdom, for the expansion of this ministry, that the good news of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. would travel like it's never traveled before, would reach more people than it's ever reached before. It's in his name we give. Amen.
God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of his goodness, who he is, what he's done for you, and who you are in him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life he came to give you.